hear what God's doing in people's lives. Last week, we finished up the 23rd Psalm. And tonight, I want us to look at classes. That's probably not a good term, but classes among the lost. We want to look at three groups of non-believers. And we want to look at some scriptural evidences to these groups. And even perhaps be able to identify. Perhaps there's some family members that we have that fit into one of these groups. And maybe we can look at Scripture and maybe have our eyes opened to how we can pray for these specific groups of individuals. So I'm going to ask you to please take your Bibles and open up to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. I want to give you a little bit of background here. If you begin at 17, verse 16, you will find where Paul begins to preach a sermon on a place called Mars Hill. And as he is preaching, it comes down to the close of his message, and that's what we're going to look at, is responses that came. I would encourage you to go back through and read the sermon and that type of thing. So feel free to do that. But we're going to be focusing on the later part of the chapter here. Beginning at verse 30 and reading through verse 34. This is what Luke records as he is writing this. Beginning with verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. But others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this." So Paul went out of their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So let's pray. Our gracious Father, I pray that tonight, as we look at various opinions that men come up with for not receiving the gospel, Lord, I ask that you would give us wisdom and you would give us understanding so that we might be able to more effectively work in your harvest fields. So, Lord, please give us a real insight into what you want to do and how you want to use us in the building of your kingdom. And, Lord, we'll certainly give you thanks and we'll give you praise for that. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. There are three, as I stated to you, there are kind of three different categories of non-believers. The first category of non-believers are those who are the neglectors. The second group are the rejectors. And then the third group are the despisers. And if you look at non-believers, when you share the gospel with them or you witness to them, you will find their responses and be able to read their heart by how they respond to the simple gospel message. We have, first, I want us to look at what the Scriptures has to say about the issue of neglectors. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, the third verse, it reads like this. And this is the writer of the Hebrews writing to the Jews. Remember who he's writing to. He says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard." How shall we escape if we neglect? That first group of non-believers are people who have had great opportunities throughout their lives. Perhaps they have sat in your Sunday school class. Perhaps they have sat in these pews. Perhaps they have sat in other churches' pews where they've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to hear the Word of God and to really be able to make an informed decision for Jesus Christ. And yet they get that mindset of, well, not now, some other time. In this passage that we looked at in the book of Acts, that group shows itself. They don't make a decision right away, but according to the 32nd verse, it says, and some began to sneer. He said, "But others said, 'We shall hear you again concerning this. We'll listen some other time. We'll pay attention some other day.'" And what are they doing? But they are neglecting the opportunity that they have right then to make a decision for Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us, call upon Him while He is near. The Word of God tells us, behold, today is the day of salvation. You see, when we determine that we're going to put off a decision for Jesus Christ, we're going to set it for a later time, what we are doing is we are neglecting the opportunity that we have to make the right decision for Christ right then. But the sad thing is, far too often, that is our opportunity. Remember, in order for us to receive Jesus Christ, it's not just a decision that we wake up one day and say, well, I think today I'll go ahead and give my life to Jesus. The Word of God teaches us that unless we are drawn by the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to believe. And if the Holy Spirit is at that moment speaking to individuals, that is the time that the decision for Christ must be made. We can harden our heart. We can stiffen our neck, like we looked at in the early service this morning. We can stiffen our neck and neglect the opportunity that we have to come to faith in Christ. And that's a dangerous place to find ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people concerned, myself and many others, are concerned about, for example, our young people. When our young people leave home for the first time, maybe they're going to college, is their faith going to be strong enough that they hang tight to the Lord? Or is that going to be the moment in time where they neglect their salvation. When they neglect the opportunity to have life in Christ. We need to pray continually for the neglecters of faith. Because neglecters will not escape the wrath of God. Just like the writer at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" You notice it's not a rejection. It's neglect. Neglect leads people to falling away from a vibrant, healthy faith in Christ. These who at Mars Hill said, "We'll talk about this more some other time," are examples of neglectors. And we can look at the history of our church or perhaps our own families, and we can say, you know what? Time after time, people have had the opportunity, but they've just kind of neglected making things right with the Lord. And each time, the Word of God, the voice of God, draws quieter and quieter and quieter until pretty soon we don't hear His voice at all. It's a dangerous place to fall in our life. So there are the neglectors. All that an individual has to do to become eternally lost is nothing. It's all they have to do. Nothing. And they'll be eternally lost. Secondly, I want you to notice that there are those who are rejectors. A rejector is one who thinks that he's good enough and that he really doesn't need anything from God. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to make it under my own strength, and I really don't require anything from God. You know, after all, I'm a pretty good Joe. I haven't killed anybody lately, and just everything is just awesome. That type of an individual. They are rejectors of the gospel. This is true of many Jews in the day of Paul. And if you want to look at an example of that, you can go to Romans chapter 10 and read the first three verses in Romans chapter 10. But you will find that there are many rejectors. There were rejectors in the day of Jesus. The Jews rejected the chief cornerstone. They rejected the Christ. They rejected the message of Christ. They shook their fists at the face of God. They did everything that they could to just absolutely reject what the gospel has to say. There's an interesting illustration of this in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22, verses 9 through 14. There is the story of a wedding. Jesus gives this particular illustration. And there is an individual who wants to get into the wedding, and the wedding at this point is a symbol of the kingdom of God. But this guy does not want to wear the wedding clothes that he's supposed to have to get into the wedding, and he's rejected and pushed out. He rejects the clothing that is available so that he can go to the wedding. And folks, I want to tell you something. There's going to be another wedding. There's going to be the wedding feast of the Lamb. There's going to be a great celebration when the bride of Christ, the church, is given to Christ. But unless we have the right clothing, will not get in. What is the right clothing? The righteousness of Christ. We are to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ in order to get in to the wedding feast. If we don't have that, then we'll be rejected. You see, those who refuse, simply refuse to receive grace, not those who just put it off and neglect it, but those who refuse to receive grace do not get to go to God's kingdom. You'll run into those individuals in your lifetime. Perhaps it's someone at the shop. Perhaps it's a family member. You will run into someone who is just going to, I don't need your faith. I'm not weak. Faith is for women and children. I don't need that. I am a self-made individual. You know what? A self-made individual is a self-destructive person. Because that's what they're choosing. They're choosing to be destroyed and not to have life. You're going to run in to people who are simply rejectors of the gospel. That's what this group is in 17 verse 32 when it says, and some began to sneer. Some began to sneer when they heard of the resurrection of the dead. They just, nah, we don't need that. Paul, you've gone crazy. You've gone wacky with this faith. I don't need that. They're just rejectors of the gospel. They think there's some other way. There's a mainline denomination that scares me because of their belief that salvation is through the church and through that church only. I'm going to tell you, they're going to find that salvation is not through the church. Salvation is through Christ and through Christ alone. And so they are rejecting the call of the gospel to have faith in Christ. Don't put your faith in church. Put your presence there. Learn what you can. But the church can't save you. Only Christ can. So be aware of that type of thing that goes on. You see, to be born again, we must accept God's standards of righteousness, not our own. And then third, there are those who are simply despisers. They are really the individuals who just despise the gospel. I run into them every once in a while, and you run into them too. They're the people who mock the claims of God. They mock the miracles that God does. They mock, and they just absolutely detest the gospel of Christ and the influence of Christ. We're seeing more and more of this become very prominent in our society. We're seeing an awful lot of it in our colleges and universities. In our colleges and universities, you've got so many professors who are atheistic and who are trusting in their own brain power. And they belittle and mock the person who comes in who has a strong faith and who has a belief in Christ. It was interesting. I've talked with Keith Deitch and with Don Jaquith. They both have had a religions class that they've had to take in the programs that they're in. where they had to sit under this one particular professor who teaches religion but is atheistic. And so what kind of a perspective do you think that this professor puts on things? You're not a kid and very weak. And when people stand up for their faith, he belittles them. Talk with Keith and talk with Don about this particular professor and see what their opinion is of his position on faith. I think you're going to find that they're going to go, whoa, this guy is really out there. But you know what? To us, that's shocking. But to the average university, that's everyday stuff. It really is. More and more universities are teaching that the gospel is nothing. There is no truth there. There is no help there. There is nothing there. It's only for the weak and the dumb. And they're doing all that they can to steal the faith of your young people. That's why it's important they have a good foundation and they have a strong faith that they can stand up under the powers of the onslaught of evil. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it's a lot worse in the universities than it is in the public schools. I don't know where you stand on public schools, but I'll tell you, the universities are far more dangerous than what the public schools are. These universities are totally devoid of anything that's right. And we should be cautious. We should be cautious and prepare our young people for that type of attack that they're going to receive. Because there are going to be those who are just despisers. They will ridicule the miraculous. They will talk about the resurrection as though it's insanity and that it's not really what's going to happen. They will tell you that, you know, what you have is just here and now, and so you better grab all that you can. Because this is all there is. Because they've lost. They have had their consciences seared as though with a hot iron. And it's an important thing for us to understand. Three classes. Those who are neglecting their salvation. Those who have rejected salvation. And those who simply despise salvation. The important thing is for us to realize that it's not us as individuals that they are rejecting, but they're rejecting the Christ that we serve. And because we are so closely tied with Him through our faith, it feels as though the hatred is towards us, when in reality, the hatred is towards what we stand for as believers in Christ and as followers of God. So I don't know who you work with. I don't know what they're like. I don't know who your family is. But you may find one of these three classes of non-believers you're going to rub elbows with. Identify where they're at and pray for them very earnestly. For the neglectors, pray for revival, for restoration, and for God to really waken them from their spiritual sleep. For the rejectors, pray that God would not withdraw Himself from them, but that He would continue to minister to them so that they could come to the point of where they would be willing to receive faith that is required for salvation. For the despisers, pray for God to break them. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, break them so that they are not despising You any longer. And I'll tell you, when you begin to pray for people like that, life for them can become miserable. Don't interfere. Let God do what God must do to bring them to their knees. For it's better for them to suffer here and have life than to not suffer here and then suffer for eternity. It's the choices. Ask God to move on their hearts in a way that's going to make life difficult for them to not notice Him. Okay, I'd like to thank you for being here again tonight. I'm going to ask you to please stand.